And to begin with another question which is asked, which is, why is there no Meseches Chanukah? Why don't we have a Meseches Chanukah? After all, there's a Meseches Megillah, and Megillah is actually, in a certain way, less complicated than Chanukah. Chanukah, you have 8 days. Chanukah, you have all the different halachas of Hadlaka. I would think that maybe Chanukah would deserve its own Mesechta. It's kind of like it creeps in Mesechta Shabbos a little bit. You're talking about Hadlaka's Neris of Shabbos. They slip in some Chanukah there, but we would expect Chanukah to get a little bit more of a prominent position in the Gemara. Why don't we have a Meseches Chanukah? That's the question the Mefarshim ask. So before I answer, I'd like to speak a little bit about what the Yevanim wanted to do. So there were certain basic decrees that the Yevanim tried that they wanted to stop us from. One of the decrees that they wanted is that Mevatel Shabbos. They didn't want anyone to keep Shabbos. Another one was Rosh Chodesh. And the other one was Bris Milah. There's other things which we could talk about. Those are the three which we're going to focus on right now. Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Bris Milah. And I believe it's Reb Aaron Cutler, if I'm not mistaken, or Reb Schneer, but I'm pretty sure it's Reb Aaron, who asked the following question. He said, I understand why you want to be involved with Shabbos. Shabbos is a big thing. Shabbos is, you call someone a Yid, you call him a Shomer Shabbos, right? Someone's a Shomer Shabbos, that's the defining quality of whether or not he's really considered to be, you know, religious or not religious, is if he keeps Shabbos. And I understand Bris Milah. Bris Milah also. That's really a very big thing in Yiddishkeit, is someone to have a bris. Right? He's a Yid or a guy, he's an Orel, he's like not even, doesn't even have a bris. Right? These are two very, very intrinsic, very integral parts of Yiddishkeit. But why Rosh Chodesh? Doesn't that sound strange? Right, once a month, you know, we get together, Mekadesh L'Chodesh. Okay, it's like, you know, it doesn't sound like something that seems to be so important to us that we would say that that's what they're zoning in on, that was their target. Why were they targeting Rosh Chodesh in particular? So, it was either Reb Schneer or Reb Aaron, and they say the following answer, and I'm just going to elaborate a little bit the way I understand it. And that is that there are three integral parts of foundations of our emunah, of our belief system. One of them is belief in Hashem. Where does belief in Hashem, where do we celebrate belief in Hashem? Where does it come out in its most prominent expression is Shabbos. Shabbos is about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's called Kvi V'Kaima. Every 7 days, we have to keep Shabbos, whether or not there's anyone around. We're not Mekadesh Shabbos or anything like that. We make Kiddush afterwards, but Shabbos exists. And it's Zecher Lebriya So'olam. It's there because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. It's Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. It's there because HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, which means Hashem created the world and He runs the world. Those are those two things. That's what Shabbos is about. And Shabbos is testimony that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. What's Bris Milah? Bris Milah is really more about us than it is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bris Milah is about how special we are. We are the chosen people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us and puts on us something, an indication that we're different than everyone else. And that is our Bris Milah. That is the mark of excellence that Klal Yisrael has to show how special Klal Yisrael is. And that's the idea of Bris Milah. So we understand those two. One of them is celebrating how great Hashem is. The other one is celebrating how great we are. And when we speak about it, I have a vad with the first year. We speak about Amuna. We speak about believing in Hashem. And we speak about believing Be'atzmecha, believing in yourself. That's a fascinating, really inspiring line in Reb Tzadok. He writes, Kishem shemitzvah lehamin ba'kodesh baruch hu, kach mitzvah lehamin be'atzmecha. A person has to believe in himself. A person has to believe in what he's capable of doing. Even though the Mishnah says, al tamin ba'atzmecha, there's a don't trust yourself. It means don't believe that you can't fail. But you have to also believe that you can succeed. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter once said, it's important for a person to know his chesroinus, but oy voy if he doesn't know his milus. You have to know what you're capable of. And that's Bris Milah. It's the belief that we are special, we are the chosen people. We are mamleches koyanim v'goy kodesh. What is Kiddush HaChodesh? So those are the two we understand what their target was. They were trying to knock down a Kodesh Baruch Hu. They're trying to knock down who we are. But what is Kiddush HaChodesh? Says Reb Aaron or Reb Schneer Kotler, he said, Kiddush HaChodesh is about emunas chachomim, is belief in our manhigim. Because that's really what Rosh Chodesh is about. Rosh Chodesh, how does Rosh Chodesh happen? Rosh Chodesh happens in Bezdin. It has to happen in Bezdin. If Bezdin is not Makadish the Chodesh, it doesn't happen. What happens if Bezdin makes a mistake? There is a famous Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah where there's an argument about when Rosh Chodesh is supposed to be. And there's lots of big players here, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar. And the Mishnah says, listen, even if they're wrong, they're right. The Chachamim are in control of the Torah. The Chachamim are in control of our reality. It happens through the Chachamim. So Kiddush HaChodesh is an expression of Amunas Chachamim, our belief in the Chachamim. And says Rav Kotler, he says, that was their main target. The main thing the Yevonim wanted to do is to tear down our belief in our Rabbonim. And that is expressed in Torah Shebaal Peh. We have two Torahs. There's Torah Shebechsav, the written word. Torah Shebaal Peh is the oral Torah. Torah Shebechsav is from Hashem. It's very clear what it is. We don't need anyone to interpret it. Torah Shebaal Peh, that is the Chachomim's interpretation of the Torah. That depends on the Chachomim. And that's really what the menorah represents. Because we have on the Aron is inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What lays inside of the Aron? What's inside of the Aron is Chamisha Chumshei Torah. That's there, the Luchos, Torah Shebechsav. The menorah, which represents this concept of Chochma. You know, the Gemara says if a person wants to become wise, should tilt a little bit southern, in the southern direction. Haroitze lahachkim yadrim, simen menorah bedarim. You tilt towards the south, because the menorah is in the south. Menorah is chochma, but it's not the written word. The menorah is the oral word. The Amik Dover says something fascinating. When Moshe Rabbeinu ever wanted a paskin, he used to stare at the flame of the menorah. And through that, he'd know how to interpret the Torah. That's Torah Shebaal Peh. You understand? So what the menorah represents is the Chachomim's ability to interpret for us what is the law and how we're supposed to act. That is Emunas Chachomim. That's what the menorah is. So now we can go back to our very first question. Why is there no Meseches Chanukah, Meseches Menorah or Chanukah? And the answer is, one of the answers, is because we want the menorah to remain in its most pristine form. How is Torah Shebaal Peh supposed to be learnt? Well, let's look at the way we... what does the words mean? Torah Shebaal Peh? Baal Peh. It should be learnt orally. Now, because we were in a difficult situation, therefore, we'll see in the Gemara soon in Baba Kama, therefore they decided to commit Torah Shebaal Peh into writing. And now it's a book. But it's not supposed to be a book. It's supposed to be Baal Peh. So therefore, Chanukah, which celebrates Torah Shebaal Peh, how are we going to celebrate Torah Shebaal Peh? In its purest form, without it being written down. And I believe perhaps that's the reason why the most creative Chanukah, Chag is Chanukah. There's a very famous question from the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef has a question, why do we celebrate 8 nights? It should be 7 nights. Do you know how many answers there are to that question? I have a book with 500 answers to that question. Now, is it a coincidence that Chanukah, we got 500 answers? This one says this, this one says that. All these different Chachamim expressing themselves in Torah Shebaal Peh. Because that's what Chanukah is about. It's about our celebrating our Chachamim and our Manhigim. So today we had an exercise somewhat in Emunas Chachamim, in our respect, Kavod Chachamim, where we went to Bnei Brak to pay our last respects to Rabbi Aaron Yehuda Leib. I want to share with you just a little bit of his tzava. He left when we were there. I don't know, you know, it was very hard. It was, you know, because Bnei Brak is so small, so different people on different streets, and I happened to be that I heard they were announcing with a ramkol, with a loudspeaker. He wrote a tzava with 12, 13 different requests. I'll share with you some of them. And understand the greatness of this human being. I don't remember them in order. I don't remember all of them. But one of the things Rav Aaron Yehuda Leib Steinman requested is that there should be no announcements that he passed away. There should be no, they're called Pashkevilim, there should be no signs. Whoever finds out he passes away should find out he passes away. He had asked that there should be no articles in any magazines, no daily magazines, no weekly magazines, no monthly magazines. Nothing should be written about him. He asked that they should never use the description of tzaddik or anything like that because it will cause him pain in Olam HaEmes. He asked that they should bury him in a very simple plot. They should not spend money to get him in a prestigious place. He should be buried with simple people. He asked that they should use the most simple of stone for a matzeva. They shouldn't spend any extra money. He said, if anyone wants to spend money, they should give it to tztaka, not on my matzeva. He asked it should say nothing on his matzeva other than his name and his father's name. Nothing else. No description of anything he did or anything about his life. He asked that anyone that would like to be meitav to him, would like to do something kind, they should learn a perek of Mishnayos a day. It's a lot. For 12 months. Women, 10 prakim of Tehillim. And he suggested that no one ever name anyone after him. He suggested that no one ever use his name. He said, I'm not insisting, but I'm suggesting that the smart thing to do is not to use my name. If anyone ever was in Rav Aaron Yehuda Leib Steinman's house, it was the simplest house. There's pictures of his kitchen, of his dining room. His office was his bed. He sat on his bed when he met people. He had tens of millions of dollars that passed through his hands monthly because he was in charge of the VAD for tztaka. Actually was a burglary once in his house where someone came in and stole money from his house. But he himself lived the most simple of lives. This is the Chachom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us as a matana, and as long as he was here, so there's a special aura that was here in this world, in this country. There was a ziv, there was a hadar, there was a yoifi. And we hope that he should be, for all of us, a melet yoisher in Shamayim. Particularly in this time of Chanukah, it's a time that's appropriate for us to try to enhance our respect for our chachamim, our gedolim, and we should be zoicha, ubila, amovas, lanetzach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring simchas to Klal Yisrael.